Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I don't know if it's about better man, but it might be about better team. We might need a better team this year, but we'll see. Look, it's early. 2017 Eagles were 1-1. I get it. But, man, that was a concerning loss the other day. All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. Mike Quick, who, of course, called the game and calls all the Eagles games with Merrill Reese, will join us in about 10 minutes. Let's get some phone calls in here. 215-592-9494. Plus a national star talking about WIP on national TV earlier this week. We'll get to that as well. Let's go to Jeremy right now. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Doing all right, Jeremy.
Going to first, very foremost, shout out BG. I really appreciated him, you know, still coming in and standing in the pocket and taking all the questions from you guys the other day.
He's a great guy, and it's very stand-up, and he handles it well. You know, I'll be honest with you, Jeremy. It's a little bit, for me personally, uncomfortable and awkward. I mean, and
I could imagine.
So imagine, think about this, Jeremy. Before he was in here, it's crazy enough when the person's right in front of you. But before he was in here in this room, he was one room over for about 20 minutes, and I could see him sitting in the other room listening to our show.
Yeah.
And we were just blasting the Eagles. Now, it's my job and John's job and all of our job to keep it real.
He was in a room where we were very aware he could hear every word. It was on a delay, but like
it's
everything
like a
that was being said, and there were some hellacious things being said about the team he was hearing.
But he gets it, Jeremy, and I, you know, it's all good. I mean, I'm sure there are players sometimes that get ticked at us, but he's a pro.
Yeah, so like I was at the game Monday night. My wife and I drove down from the NASCAR race the weekend before, and we drove from Watkins Glen to Philly on Monday to see the game. And one thing that stuck out to me was the body language and the just the mood of some of the guys on the defensive side of the ball, you know, and all the sloppy and missed tackling aside, because, you know, we see guys like CJ who makes one play and then he runs 20 yards down the field. He's flexing in front of the camera.
It was a big play, though. It was a big play. I mean, it was a huge play at the time.
It actually was a huge play. I'll give you that. But I also, like, there's a whole lot of other football that did not meet the expectations.
We got lucky on that play, Jeremy, that we didn't get hit with a personal foul.
Yeah, and like,
well, hold on. You mean
that risk alone?
You mean taking the helmet off?
Yeah, that was intentional for sure.
Well, here's the thing.
He definitely took it off. Yeah.
So
I mean, it's clear.
This is something I wanted the broadcast to address, and they didn't with the rules guy. Would it have been the Eagles' ball or not? Is it 15? Like, Eagles get the ball, they move back 15 yards.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing as it happened. I don't know, John.
Because it's after the
play.
I don't know.
I
don't know
either. I was nervous about it.
No, I was too. I didn't know.
But it is possible. I mean, I don't know the rule.
It could be part of the play. It could be considered the end of the play.
It could be part of the play, or it could be celebration after the play.
I hope that.
I mean, the play was over.
And the coaches or whomever.
Yeah, tell CJ DJ never, ever, ever again, buddy. Like, what are you thinking?
Yes, convey that message.
That's right.
Because I just can only imagine.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy, good call. Let's talk to Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, you're on WIP.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
And we're done on that, man. We're
recovering.
I mean, look, the Phillies can make the playoffs tonight, so that's cool. The Eagles thing is, you know, kind of in the mud.
So I want to get to something really positive before I get to the Eagles, because I'm heated this morning, and I don't normally get heated. So one day, fathers and mothers are going to tell their yet-to-be-born kids that they were alive to watch Zach Wheeler pitch in person for the Philadelphia Phillies. This guy is historically good for this team.
That's right.
And so we need to appreciate that. Listen, yesterday, I was heated about the outcome of that game like everybody else was. Today, I'm heated about all the stuff I'm hearing. And I don't normally get heated. You know me. I don't roll like that. But First of all, Mike from Delran, we're Burlington County neighbors, right? Delran is in the next town up the street from Cinnaminson. When this thing turns around and the bus leaves, it's leaving without you. And we're not stopping, and we're not letting you get on. The bus is leaving without you. You've gone on record. You've planted your flag. This team sucks. We get it. That's where you are. That's where you stay. We'll see you next year. Listen, there needs to be some intellectual honesty about Nick Sirianni here, because this all goes back. The line of demarcation for Nick Sirianni's career as a head coach in Philadelphia is going to be that stupid question that was asked to him in that press conference. Because from that moment forward, he had an undoable job here in Philadelphia. So I'm going to give you two scenarios.
No, I disagree. Can I disagree?
Joe, I'm going to give you two scenarios for Monday night.
Okay.
One of them is the scenario we're in now. They run that play on third and three. Saquon Barkley, who can do no wrong because he went to Penn State.
No, because he's a great football player.
He drops the ball. That is on Nick Sirianni. He catches that ball, and all we're talking about Tuesday morning is the innovation and the nerve and the guts of Kellen Moore to call that play.
Yeah, Ken, I think people misread it, but a lot of people, look, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. I agree with you. By the way, I will say, I don't think Sirianni is getting, like, I think there's a general understanding that Kellen Moore called the play, just to be fair here.
To be fair, I've seen a lot of Sirianni criticism and pretty much no Kellen Moore criticism.
And if you've noticed, I've said, maybe not enough, Kellen Moore and Stoutland, like the illegal men downfield.
Right.
Well, what about
Stoutland's the offensive line coach?
What is Nick doing? Like, if he's going in and out of meetings, coaching up some defense, coaching up some offense, these are big picture ideas, penalties that he should be keeping an eye on. And what about the fact? Hold on. What about the fact that over the last two seasons, we have four losses after having the lead with 2 minutes left in regulation?
Yeah.
That's okay, tied for the worst in the NFL at, like, letting games slip away. So we are situationally letting games slip away. Situationally, is that poor coaching? I think it might be.
Let me address that. I'm glad you brought that up, because I talked to James and Elliot on Go Birds about this several weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Ross Tucker actually brought it up during the broadcast of one of the preseason games, that Kenny Pickett, who came from Pittsburgh, you know, where the head coach never gets asked what you do around here because he doesn't call plays. And Kenny Pickett said that he has gotten more situational football coaching since he's been in football than since he's been in Philadelphia than he's ever had in his life. Nicholas Morrow said the same thing last year when he got here, that he's gotten more situational football coaching in Philadelphia with Nick Sirianni as the head coach than he ever had anywhere else.
Did he say from Nick Sirianni?
Well, this is why it's, You can't have it both ways.
I just want to know if it was from Nick or not.
Yeah, listen, Ken, obviously there is confusion amongst the fan base about what happens behind closed doors. There always is. There's more this year than in the past. I mean, it is what it is.
And which should have been expected. I mean, this certainly is incredibly unusual.
Because, Ken, this really isn't about the fans. What you're getting at is whether Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman made the correct decision on two fronts. One, to strip Sirianni of power, and two, in doing so, to choose to keep him or not. I mean, your issue isn't with me, Joe Schmo on the street. Your issue is with Howie and Nick and whether the organization is properly aligned to be successful.
Well, I don't think they made the wrong decision in keeping Nick Sirianni. I absolutely positively don't. The man's record speaks for
itself. All right, I got you. All right, Ken, let me get to Mike Quick. He's with us right now, and we appreciate your phone call. Ken Quick, of course, every single Wednesday at this time.
Sponsored by Bet Parks online casino and sportsbook app. New users can score up to $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. You must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's always great to talk to Mike Quick. I mean, what a player, what a broadcaster, what a dude. And every single Wednesday at this time, he joins us. We like when it's after wins. We deal with it when it's after losses. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning, team. How are you?
Good, buddy. Mike, we're trying to, as you can tell, make sense of all this. So, Mike, this one hurt a lot. I want to take this a little inside out for just to start, because you know we've asked the same questions to a million guests so far this week and stated the same opinions on all these main topics. Let's go a little beneath the surface here. Let's actually start with Jahan Dotson, because you know if he had played better, then maybe they would have won the game. What do you make of Jahan Dotson? I mean, this was an opportunity game for him, and he did very little out there. Your sense of what he brings to the table, or is it not much?
So I think it's going to take him a little while, but I think he does have skills that the team can utilize. I like his speed, his ability to catch the ball. I don't think he's comfortable enough in this system yet, but yeah, he has to be a much bigger factor. And you know, with AJ not in, it's completely a different team, and we saw that. We know that. Mm-hmm. But it's an opportunity for a guy like Jahan Dotson to show you that he does have something. And I expected more out of him in that game the other night.
Totally. So, Britton Covey, 6 targets, 6 catches, only 20-something yards, though. Are the plays small, or is he playing small? It felt like, man.
Huh? John.
Yeah.
Come on, man. He is small.
Yeah, he is.
Really, really small.
Extremely. It just felt so like we weren't getting anywhere by doing that.
Yeah. So Covey's going to catch the ball. And if you got him in the right space, you know, maybe he's going to be able to make plays. But, you know, when you look at Britt Covey, you can't expect a whole lot out of him as a wide receiver. I like him as a punt returner.
Jeez.
As
well, it seems like they're expecting a lot.
Well, I mean, AJ's out. I mean, look, they went to him instead of Paris Campbell and, you know, pick whomever else.
Dallas Goedert.
He knows the offense. He knows the system. And in this system, there are several times when the ball was targeted to him that he's the hot receiver. They're blitzing off of his side, or that slot guy who's covering him, he comes on a cyclone or corner blitz, and he is the guy. He's the hot read, so the ball needs to go to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's situations where he caught the ball where he was targeted, where that's where Jalen needed to go with the football because of all the other things that's going on around him.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to have to rely on Britt Covey as a wide receiver to make a lot of plays.
Yep. So, Mike, one of the guys I was hoping they'd rely on more in the passing game was Dallas Goedert. So let's get into this for a second. So, first off, watching the game Monday, I said to myself, and then I said on the show yesterday, I'm done thinking that Hurts and Goddard as a combo are going to turn the corner. I just don't think they will. There's 3 things. Tell me what stands out to you the most. Hurts doesn't do good enough to get him the ball. Goddard doesn't do good enough to get open. Or the coordinators from the past and the coordinator this year just doesn't do good enough to get Goddard featured. Which is it, or is it all of the above? Because it's not working.
Yeah. It's 1, 2, and 3. I think they have to do a better job. I just think that Dallas Goedert is such a talented guy. You have to try and get the ball to him. But on the other side of that, Atlanta knows that he's really talented. You take that very first play that ended up going to Calcaterra. They took Goddard away. There were 2 guys around Dallas Goedert. They weren't going to let him get the ball. So in those scenarios, you got to find other people that you can throw the ball to. But I still believe that Dallas Goedert is one of the best talents at that position in our league.
Mike, does that include route running and the feel for a team in a zone and when to sit it down and make himself open to the quarterback? Because I know he's physical. I know he can truck dudes with the ball. But, I mean, I've seen tight ends, and Zach Ertz is probably the best ever here in Philadelphia at this. Route running and zone recognition.
Zone recognition.
Does Goddard have that feel, Mike?
Without a question. Without a doubt.
I'm glad you say that.
Without a doubt in my mind, Dallas Goedert can do all of that stuff.
Sure can.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you think so. Okay.
So, other side of the ball, Mike, the Eagles' defense got rolled. So, 28 carries, 152 yards on the ground against us, 5.4 yards per carry. I thought that Jordan Davis was supposed to solve this. What happened?
Yeah, he didn't play well in my eyes. You know, the defensive line in general, they could not get off of blocks. I thought that that offensive line, I just I think the Atlanta Falcons offensive line is way better than I expected. Their right guard, who the week before had a tough time with Pittsburgh, man, he was putting everybody on the ground. Too many guys were on the ground. Too many guys could not get off blocks. And then this stretch run that they use, this outside zone that ends up cutting back to the inside or to the A-gap, it was just a problem. And they were cutting down guys on the second level. The guys on the front level, the defensive linemen, couldn't get off of blocks. When you're not able to disengage as a defensive lineman, as a defense, you're going to get trucked that way. These guys have to be much better with their hands and getting guys off of them so that they can make plays. And that really, to me, it's like these guys had Velcro on their jerseys and they were locking onto these blocks and the Eagles D could not get off of blocks.
That's incredible. I actually used that terminology in these notes that I took, Mike, Velcro, and I was surprised that my my device capitalized the V in Velcro. When I didn't realize that it was like a proper noun like that. But
so not only that, John, but the way they were getting to guys, linebackers, and getting to their legs. And cutting the linebackers, and
the guys who played so great week one. The contrast to week two was even more profound.
Yeah, so you have to give some credit to Atlanta. They really played well, especially in the trenches.
So how do we get better at that? I mean, it looked like we didn't have any answers whatsoever to getting chopped. Is that something that, like, hey, you just talk to the guys, protect your legs, and week three, that'll be fixed? It feels like I am worried, Mike, that everyone in the NFL can look at that tape and say, holy cow, we'll just run like 90, 98 toss week, and we can destroy these guys every week. What's to prevent that from happening?
Just playing better. It's as simple as that. Just the fundamental techniques that are taught. Linebackers know how to use their hands and push a guy who's cutting them to the ground and step over that guy and all of these things that they work on all the time. These are just the basic fundamentals of the game of playing those positions that allow you to disengage and get to the ball.
So, Mike, have you thought about yet that they might have to make a trade? I mean, I'm talking more about the edge rushers. Has your mind gone there?
No, Joe. Come on, man.
Tell you what, if Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff don't step up, they're in deep trouble.
It feels like we got the firepower on that defensive side, Mike, to you, like to generate enough pass rush. I know it's early and all that. Yeah. These guys haven't really practiced to full speed. But, man, you feel that's like we got enough to get quarterbacks on their back.
John, it's early for me, and I don't want to go too quickly because I have seen these guys play better than we saw the other night. So it's early for me to jump to that conclusion that we need to look for other people. Mm-hmm. I think these guys have worked really hard all summer, and I just believe that this thing will get turned around. We're at game two. This is only two of 17 rounds.
Look, so, I hope you're right, man. Mike, here's what I'll say. I'm going to pick a random year. Let's go with, go to 1985. I was 7 years old, but even a young hammer knew after 85 second game, the offensive line you were playing with stunk, all right? And you knew it stunk, and Jaws knew it stunk. And that's bore out the whole year. Look, you're right. Sometimes things improve. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes what you got is what you got, and you got a problem. We'll see. Care to comment on the 85 offensive line, Mike? And how you would have had 25 more catches that they could, block anybody?
25 more catches?
as much as I
just
don't
max it up,
wanna,
Mike. Like,
as
seriously.
Much as I don't want to co-sign what you just said. The offensive line at 85 stunk.
Wow. Selling out your teammates.
Mike, I love you, man. Stay well, Mike. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good call with Merrill Dunn in New Orleans. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, there he is, Mike Quick. All right, that's good stuff. Let's get to David right now in Wallingford. Good morning, David.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, David.
Hey, I really enjoyed the new show. I know it's been a little while now, but you guys kind of set the tone for the day. And I think you have a big responsibility in doing so. You know, you can say something that's inflammatory and kind of set the rest of the station off. And you guys have been doing a really good job. So I appreciate you guys setting the tone we have.
Thanks, David.
Hey, absolutely. You're welcome. A pleasure to listen. So I'm happy to follow up my quick because I have been really frustrated not seeing Dallas Goedert get more incorporated into the game. And I'm wondering if it's because of all the changes in the coordinators we've had, they're just not paying enough attention to him. I mean, the guy went 6 for 60.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Super Bowl was one of the biggest catches of that game.
Yeah.
You know, third and long. So, I don't know
they
why.
Know how talented he is. They want to get him the ball. I'm positive.
David,
it's just a matter of time.
David, I don't think it's a matter of time. I think it is a Jalen Hurts issue primarily. I have told you for a while, I don't think he processes as well back there as he needs to. Tight end is rarely going to be a first read.
It's something you work on.
No,
and
this week,
upcoming in the first 15, you put 3 Dallas Goedert plays where he is the first read. It's not necessarily going to go to him, but it's likely that with the coverage you're expecting, he's going to get a good chance to get the ball. That's how you address it.
No, you can do that. But my broader point, and David, maybe this is what you're saying as well. My broader point is, you know, when he's the second, third, fourth guy in the progression, I don't think Hurts does a good job getting it to him.
No, that's my point. If you watch the film, he'll sit in a soft zone, and Jalen will chuck it downfield, try to go for Devontae or someone else, and I'm looking at the TV going, he's sitting right there.
Or he'll leave the pocket. Jalen leaves the pocket.
Correct. He has left the pocket far too often this season, not just last year, the year before, you know, younger years. He's leaving the pocket still. Even though the protection is better, it's something he needs to improve if this team's going to get where it needs to go.
Hey, David, I don't know if you've called the show before. I honestly can't remember, but you're a good caller. So keep it coming when you get a chance. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. All right, up ahead, Time's Yours plus the National Star talking about WIP earlier this week on national TV. That's next. And reminder, Phils tonight can make the postseason. And yeah, Zach Wheeler won't pitch tonight, but he'll pitch game one. The guy's unbelievable. There's a man, what a song. Bowie was incredible. And he died too young. He wasn't like young, but he wasn't old.
I think he was 69.
That's a shame, man. That's a shame. All right, so Time's Yours in about 10 minutes. We'll get some calls in this segment as well. I also want to get to a pretty big national star who, you know, I mean, we're all watching the Eagles game the way we were the other day. We're
is
listening here.
Is it Jason Kelce?
It is not Jason Kelce.
Oh.
So, during the Manning cast the other day, Miles Teller just throws in a WIP reference. So, let me give you the backstory here. Miles Teller talking to Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, and he's actually doing play-by-play for a play. Turns out to be a pass to Devontae Smith. that is caught. And as he does, he starts kind of celebrating. And Peyton or Eli, I forget which ones, ribbing him a bit. And listen to this exchange.
Oh, nice completion. Devontae Smith, baby. Go, Birds. Go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
I think I think you made the right call. I think you made the right call going into acting there, Miles. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah. You can't root for a team when you're commentating. You can't root for one of the team. You can't say go Birds.
I would be commentating for WIP, boys. I would be all Philly.
I like that. Makes me happy.
That's awesome. Right?
That is incredible.
I love it.
And yeah. I love that Eli actually took offense. Like, he clearly had some issue with it, like, deep down.
With,
like,
the Go Birds thing or the WIP thing?
Well, the WIP thing. Yeah. Like, he was sort of offended. Like, well, hey, I think they were joking around a little bit. Of course, guys, but he's ribbing them, but it's coming from a place. There's truth in all jest.
Well,
deep down, he was annoyed. I think that's great for Miles. Great job,
so
bud.
So now I think WIP has to invite Miles Teller on to call a game.
Two-time guest of our show, yeah.
Put another way, James Seltzer. James, you are the producer of this show, right?
Yeah.
Now, Miles Teller's been on this show twice.
Two times.
Because, to promote the same
because
movie.
His people reached out to our people.
Yeah.
Because he had a movie coming out. Like, you didn't get him. He actually raised his hand and said, I want to be on the show.
He was on the show.
All right, yeah. James, why don't you roll up those sleeves? Show us you got some Popeye forearms or some Steve Garvey forearms, to use a 70s reference.
Steve Garvey?
And, like, get us a star someday. And not like Jason Kelsey, who's here, and
so
Brandon Graham,
Steve
who's
Garvey
here.
Steve Garvey had, like, the biggest
forearms? Oh, Steve Garvey had the forearms of
really?
Forearms in the 1970s, man.
I mean, I know Steve Garvey was doing the underwear stuff, but I didn't know that
I knew you were so into Steve Garvey.
Palmer was doing the underwear. Was Garvey doing it also?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was doing the underwear early in his career.
What is the underwear?
Tighty-whitey. Posing with tighty-whiteys.
The underwear stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the 90s, it was Marky Mark. When he was not Mark Wahlberg,
right?
He was Marky
the funky
Mark
bunch.
Of the Funky Bunch.
Yeah.
He was doing the underwear
right.
posing.
I did know that.
But
yeah.
back in the day.
The Dirty Dog Devin. Dirty Dog Devin.
No. It's just more recent.
No,
Steve Garvey was doing that
down.
Like 20 years earlier.
Dirty Dog.
Yeah,
we learned something about
Devin.
Devin.
Yeah. I've heard his name more now in the last 2 minutes than I have in my life.
All right. Well, nice job by Miles Teller and Seltzer. Get on it. Yeah, show us some producing chops.
I'll get Steve Garvey on.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Make your day.
Let's go to Hassan in Strawberry Mansion. Hassan, what's going on, pal?
Not much. Good morning.
Good morning,
hey, Hassan.
This defense is what's going on.
Like in a good way or a bad way?
A bad way.
Yeah.
In a bad way.
That's right.
I think the name that's not being mentioned is enough. It's Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. Because like you said, they're the play callers.
I'm telling you, Hassan, the name not being mentioned enough is Howie Roseman.
Him too.
I mean, Hassan, let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. I want you to give me a straight-up answer. Regarding Bryce Huff's ineffectiveness so far, who do you blame the most? I'm going to give you three people. Bryce Huff, Vic Fangio, or Howie Roseman.
Hold on, Joe. Vic Fangio has been saying from the get-go about Bryce Huff,
right.
I don't think he can do this. Like, from the get-go, he's been saying,
I think Joe's trying to make the point.
John, you're missing the point.
He's trying to say it's Howie's fault, not Vic's fault.
Hassan, whose fault is it that at $51 million, he hasn't been good? Howie, Fangio, or Huff?
For sure, who the man that gave him the 51.
Correct.
For sure, but I can't get on Huff too much. When my son had his first game at DN, and hey, they had the same stat.
Wow! Didn't see a shot of Hassan's son coming
Look,
today.
Obviously, Huff should be a little better. No, Hassan, I like your reference, but I'll give you an example. And this is going, and Hassan, good call. This is going in a different direction. But let's just talk for a moment. When Allen Iverson wasn't the Sixers shooting guard anymore, okay? And Willie Green was for like 3 years. And everybody's blasting Willie Green. I wasn't blasting Willie Green. I was blasting the 76ers that Willie Green was their starting shooting guard. Like, it's not that kind of, like, Willie Green tried his, now look, I'm not telling you I'm absolving Bryce Huff. I don't know enough yet to know what he actually can do. I don't know. We'll see. I do know there were a lot of skeptics that reviewed the film of him from last year and said this guy got cheapy free sacks because on particular plays he was unblocked. And that raised my antenna.
But he also had a great first step and explosiveness.
Well, let's say that got him five or six of the sacks. You know, he got, I'm making him up, but like five free sacks and six that he earned.
What we're seeing
now,
though.
That's not great.
The problem is
now. That's not $51
million. When in a different capacity, when stopping the run, when trying to hold up against blockers.
Well, yeah.
He just looks so incredibly out of place.
And we were told that was already the known book.
Yeah.
That he couldn't stop the run. That's why, despite this pass rush thing, he only played 40% of the snaps for the New York Jets. I mean, that is a concern. Let's listen to Donovan McNabb. So McNabb on the afternoon show every Monday after the game, in this case yesterday because it was a Monday night game, Donovan expressing concern with the defense.
I mean, it's early. I'm not going to sit here and throw the white flag out. But I just think for what we've expected from our Georgia Bulldog alums, it's not happening. I just think losing Fletcher Cox and a few others, maybe that we're starting to take that hit of it. Because I'm just not getting any push. I'm not getting the correct push in the run game, and I'm not getting, you know, guys to come off and create pressure in the pocket.
There's no doubt. I mean, look, Donovan knows what he's seen. We all do. Now, look, maybe they don't need to make a trade. Maybe they can get it together, but maybe they need a trade. I mean, maybe they just don't have the horses. By the way, Reuben Frank made a point post-game on Monday night. I want to play this because, you know, we haven't really drilled down as a show too much on this point yet, but it's been referenced. But Reuben made it in a strong way post-game on NBC Sports Philadelphia after the horrible loss. Listen to what he said.
And this team, you know, you like to think that they're over what happened last year. A lot of changes, new players, new coaches, new coordinators. But this is the kind of game that the 2023 Eagles lost. What did I say when Barkley dropped that ball? They're going to lose this game.
And they're not.
I'm shocked you said I chuckled. I laughed. They're not going to lose this game.
They lost the game
because I just don't think they have the mental toughness. Everything Barrett said is true. The pass rush, run defense, all that stuff. They just don't have the mental toughness to make a play when they have to make a play. And it caught up to them.
All right, let me say this. I'm not ready to say Ruben's right. It is a new season. There are new parts. They got a chance to step away for 6 months. Hopefully they found soul, you know, that's like fighting soul, not dying soul. Oh, soul lives after it dies. If it does, yeah.
We don't have enough time. I'm going Andy McPhail.
If it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
There you go.
But my point is, and Sirianni made this point actually with us, and some people may agree or disagree, but, you know, Sirianni's like, look, let's not talk about we're 2-8 or 9 in our last 10 or 11 or whatever the number was. Like,
2-7.
Yeah, we're 1-1. Okay. But Ruben said it pretty declaratively there. Like, he thinks there is a carryover from last year to this year. He might be right. I don't know.
It's possible.
Then he referenced the Saquon drop, and Saquon wasn't even on the team last year, and I don't blame that he didn't catch the ball on that. He just dropped it. He catches that ball 9 times out of 10.
There's a want-to required to playing defense and tackling and sacrificing yourself to some degree that I don't think I saw enough of in this last game.
And the want-to, that sacrifice...
I don't know if I can describe this adequately, but it's like, you know that you are going to hurt. You know that it's going to hurt you so bad, but it's going to hurt that guy worse. And that's the ultimate goal. Yeah. I didn't see enough of that. I saw too much self-protection. I saw too much, you know, playing off blocks by running around them instead of taking them on. It was self-preservation and almost, I don't want to say fear because that is the worst word you can pair with football.
That's right.
But our linebackers played in such a run-around, soft way, it was disgusting
well,
to me.
And it's bad to hear, John. I'll say one more thing about Bryce Huff, and this is one of those ones where, like, I have no idea if this is occurring. But I want to just float this out there for the first time because we have seen this with athletes before. Because he certainly is supposed to be better than what he's supposed to be, a lot better than what he's put out there. Okay. There are athletes that get paid and they put their feet up. I'm not saying he's doing that, but I'm saying there are guys. Like, for instance, and I've told this story before, there's a well-known player from the two drafts that we follow the most, obviously, in sports are football and basketball. I mean, we don't know college baseball players, right? I've told the story before. I talked to a guy in recent years, very prominent, very, very, very prominent in college. And he told me years after he had played, and he was a top five pick, he told me upon making the league that, and I'm not going to say the player, it's a private conversation, but he said upon making the league, he just knew he could coast, he could play for 10 or more years, he could make millions of dollars, and he knew that he would not make as much money as he would if he applied himself, but he was naturally skilled enough to just make money, be in the league, and do all that, and he was comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And what I wonder, like, with some, because we're hearing Bryce Huff, like, there's people that think he didn't try hard the other day. And if that's the case, then you got a whole different animal. I mean, look at Derek Coleman. I mean, Derek Coleman clearly did not try his hardest in the NBA. If he had, he would have been an all-star for 10 straight years. He wasn't.
This is such a bizarre situation. This is a guy who probably never expected to get the attention, the potential pay.
Because he got guaranteed money.
That's what's crazy. Yeah. Like, everyone knows where they sit on the hierarchy within the football team. But then here's this guy. He is a specialist. He's a guy who's not even on the field 90% of the time, but third down.
Well, 40% of the time. Or 60%.
You know what I mean? A limited percentage of the time. He goes out there for a very specific purpose, and because that purpose matters so much, he got overpaid in a huge way, a way that not even he could have expected.
Well, certainly 2 years ago he wouldn't have thought of it.
He hadn't done anything.
And all of a sudden he got $51 million and a bunch guaranteed. Let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours. Brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
Yeah, Howie's going to make moves, they're saying now. Howie's going to fix it. Howie's the reason we're in this mess and nobody talks about it. Howie's the best. Howie's God. Yeah. Georgia Bulldog University. How's that Georgia defense working out for you, dude?
Look, Howie's had a great career. Now it's going up and down, up and down, up and down, but it's way better than most. But he might have really, really, really had some misses that are going to affect this team, not only this year, but for some years to come.
I've never heard people like James and Joe argue more vigorously for a position that being, oh, it was smart to throw it. That was proven to be empirically the wrong decision. They lost the freaking game because of it.
Yeah, but if the guy catches the ball, they don't lose. That's the point. Like, let me ask you a question, fella. Did Nick Foles make a mistake throwing the ball to Alshon Jeffrey before the two-minute warning against the Saints in 2018? Is that Foles' fault for throwing the ball? The ball was incomplete, matter of fact. No, it wasn't. It was intercepted. So is that Foles' fault? Alshon dropped the ball. Is that Foles' fault for choosing to throw it to him? Huh. Ponder that one, fella.
There's nothing to ponder. You could do it with every play in every game.
Well, of course
game.
We could. Of course.
Does anybody else find it ironic that right before the Falcons marched down the field, they put a graphic up on the screen that four of the last seven Eagles losses, they had a lead with under 2 minutes? I mean, there's a pattern, and something's got to change. It's no coincidence.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's that specific, like, is our coaching smart enough to get us where we want to go?
I'll also say we have spent very little time on this. Vic Fangio may have just gone way the hell to prevent defense.
Oh, yeah, they were way off those guys.
Like, that could just be his fault. Like, just don't go prevent that extensively. I mean, the announcers were saying in the TV version that the safeties were way back. So, you know, that might just be his fault.
Hey, guys, I was watching that abysmal Eagle performance the other night, and I really have to believe that in 2061, Haley's Comet's going to return. And when it does, our Elite Four team still will not have won another championship.
Oh, boy.
Wow, that's negative.
Well, that's if the asteroid coming toward us doesn't kill us all in the meantime. What are they saying? This thing's like a stadium-sized asteroid?
Oh, I didn't hear about this.
Oh, there's another one? I feel like this happens
the dinosaur killer,
every 6 months.
The dinosaur killer that killed them could come back and...
Need Bruce Willis and what's the guy?
Ben Affleck,
Steve Buscemi, and all those guys to save the day.
Go take care. No, apparently it's not a world ender, but it could be a collision that you don't want to be in that spot. Let's put it that way.
Well, maybe we could adjust the weather a little bit. You know, like we've got issues with the warming and everything else.
The global warming.
If it glances off us in a certain way,
maybe.
Can we put it back? The damage that
we're
we've done.
Complex here.
Or we could just go have Breslov take care of that job because he's not taking care of this job. Go give him a new gig. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The time's yours.
Of course, he would miss the asteroid.
Stand in front of the asteroid, Bryce. That's the gig, yeah.
All right, Mulata. Call 215. Lane Johnson.
The quarterback.
Kelsey out of retirement. Just block it. Just block it.
Right.
Block the asteroid. All right, Twitter poll. So we've been trying to assess whether the Eagles are average, and it's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you think the Eagles will end up an average team this year? We were really trying to ask, basically, are they an average team? But we figured we'll just spin it forward. Do they end up average? So I got the poll results here, John. How do you think people voted?
No one wants them to be. That's going to factor in. So I'm going to say 40% say that they are average.
77% of responders think the Eagles have an average football
team. I was shocked how high it was. I was shocked.
77%.
This is way over the top, folks.
It might
down
be,
bad.
But it
we
might not be.
We are 1-1.
I know.
We're just learning to practice with this team right now.
We'll say. But we also know this.
Dead hammer!
Has been right about a lot before. I hope I'm wrong this time.
At least in your world.
I like how you turned it back to you.
Well, I could also go.
You're John freaking Ricci,
and
man.
You're also wrong.